Welcome back to Arizona Edition. I'm Lou Gumm. KAWC's Michelle Faust just reported on some of the challenges facing local job seekers as they attended a recent job fair sponsored by Goodwill of Central Arizona. Next, she sits down with the Arizona Republican congressman who co-sponsored the event.
We're in the studio with Congressman Paul Gosar. Thank you for coming.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We just came from the Goodwill Jobs Fair in Arizona. What's your role in this job fair?
Well, we're acting like a promoter. We're a connector. So what we like to do is we like to take and centralize job seekers as well as those that have the job opportunities. And that way people get multiple ventures to looking at what jobs are available. And employers get to see the prospective workers that they could get. And that way everybody wins. And that way it's frustrating in the job market right now. But we had over 1,300 people walk through the doors. And there were lots of plenty of great employers looking for willing people.
Now, the jobless rate across Arizona is about 8%, and right now in Yuma County, above 30%. What can be done to improve the situation? What's Congress's role?
Well, Congress's role is that we're finding the effects of a big government doesn't work. One size doesn't fit all. And what we need to do is trust Yuma to solve its problems and get out of the way. And I think that's the biggest key is people know what works for Yuma. We need to empower them and give them the tools to succeed. And I think all the excitement and all the ideas are right here, ready to go. It's just letting the federal government acknowledge that they're probably the biggest part of hindering that aspect of success.
Now, talk to me a little bit about there was a press release about some transparency in government and having that dealing with the EPA. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, once again, we're seeing government pick winners and losers, and we're seeing targeted areas in which the EPA has used their influence, and it's considerable to pick winners and losers. And that's not right. What we need to do is we need to have fair, equitable application of the law. We need to, when we're working with states, work with states and empower them to be the solution process. That's how Congress has dictated a number of these laws from what I've seen. And what they need to do is work to and work with and not pick winners and losers and not dictate who's going to win and who's going to lose.
Now, this transparency bill, it also relates to the IRS?
All the way across the board. I mean, we're seeing numbers of problems out of Washington, D.C. Government is way too big. It's out of control. And that's why you're seeing Scandalgate, the IRS, AP probe, Benghazi, Fast and Furious. I mean, all these things show that the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. are out of control. There's no checks and balances, and that the American people are the ones who are suffering.
Now, there's a series of talks across the country, and specifically more in our area, about the Colorado River. The Colorado River, we're experiencing drought year after year. We've got this problem you've got prolonged drought. Water levels are low, and there's agricultural, municipal, recreational, environmental needs for the river. What can be done there, and what's Congress's role there?
Well, Congress's role is when it deals with interstate commerce, we have to start being the person that actually, or the entity that actually starts to regulate that. And this is not a win-lose. This is a win-win all the way across the board. And Arizona's always been forthright in their application of where water is, how we can be accountable for it, how do we use a limited commodity, and how do we best utilize that? And it starts with communications, getting all the parties to the table, all the states to the table, and work out this comprehensively that everybody wins. It is a limited resource. And it also depends upon our neighbors to the south, Mexico, too, because that's also part of the affected areas is northern Mexico. So this is something that we all can do. We've shown it time and time again. Arizona's been the leader in water usage. And how do we minimize our exposure with a limited quantity? And I think that's the beauty of being from Arizona.
Well, what could you explain a little bit more about how it is a win-win? Because I know here in Yuma, because mm-hmm. we're at the end of the Colorado River, we use a lot of water for agricultural usage. A lot of times it pits Yuma against Phoenix, against other municipalities that use that water. How can we make that win-win?
Well, if you don't have the crops that are growing in Yuma, and if it's not my mistake, about 95% of all the leafy greens that the U.S. uses in late fall and early winter comes from Yuma. So if you can't feed yourself, you're not a civilization that's going to last very long. The great state of Maricopa or Phoenix needs to understand that we're a great state, that the Navajo Generating Station is in rural Arizona. If it doesn't exist, neither does Phoenix to the state that it is. And by the way, neither does Tucson. So it's all interrelated, and there's got to be a happy balance. You got to be able to feed yourself. You have to have new opportunities for jobs. You need to, and that comes with business and energy. And we've got a great, you know, sunshiny state where a lot of people want to come. I mean, that's the greatness about Arizona is people want to come here. And, you know, we ought to open our arms with it, but make sure that there's a solution and an idea that they're included in a process that makes sure that things are sustainable, water sustainable, that we account for a limited resource, that we're looking at employing people, keeping people invested into our economy and our country and particularly the state.
Now, I'm going to kind of shift tracks and talk a little bit about immigration reform. Mm-hmm. That's been top of the headlines all year long. Both the Senate and the House are looking at different ways to approach this. So I've got a few questions about that. But first of all, how do you see it going forward?
Well, I think that there's two different bodies and they have two different mindsets. And I thank the senators for trying to come to some type of agreement and start the discussion. I think the House is going to have a little different take on it. But I think what you're going to see is the Senate bill being modified through the amendment process and go to conference. I think the House is going to have an idea of where they want to go with immigration, but break it down into smaller bills that are easily digested and have an open conversation in front of the American people so that's well vetted. Those will be gathered up after the committee level, and you have a comprehensive bill a little differently structured, but well vetted. It'll go to conference, and then it'll depend upon who goes as the conferees from each House and Senate to see what you come out as a comprehensive bill. I caution people. This is one that we need to get right. We have a broken system. We need to embrace legal immigration, but we have to do it in the right fashion. Otherwise, we rush it, we break the system. We do a bad bill, we're going to break the system. This is one that I tell people, air it out. Let America speak. Let everybody have a vetted exercise. They don't like big bills. That's one of the problems with, you know, a 1,000-page now bill in the Senate is that people know there's stuff hidden. There's earmarks hidden in there, and they want smaller bites of the apple so they can well vet it. But I think that's how it's going to happen. And I tell people, take your time. This is worth the wait. It's one of those issues that will transcend not an off election year, but even into the election year because it carries that much weight. But I also will tell people is that we need to engage our neighbors. This needs to be an active, dynamic conversation with the countries of Mexico and Canada. Think of what we invest in those relationships in the Middle East. Why can't we be doing that in our backyard? Why can't we ask the same thing from Mexico and Canada that we're doing in the Middle East?
Now, the Senate's comprehensive bill, a lot of people have doubted that it'll pass the Congress. What do you think the future is there?
Well, I think people ought to be listening to the speaker. The Senate bill is dead on arrival in the House. Earmarks, we can't deal in the House with earmarks. We want to have a well, you know, small pieces at a time coming through. We need a good guest worker program. We want to make sure that the visa process, you know, when you're a visitor, there's an exit and an entry point of view. But we want to air that out vested because you sent me back in 2010 for a different type of role. You wanted reforms. I don't want to do the same thing over and over again and try to expect a different result because it's not coming. It's called insanity. We want to have an honest discussion with the American people. I'm not afraid of that conversation. We all ought to be here. But we're also a country of laws. We need to uphold the rule of law and embrace what it means to be an American. I mean, the discouraging aspect is Washington, D.C. is showing such a very poor example, particularly in our Justice Department right now, picking winners and losers, investigating certain groups with religious and political beliefs. To look into your very lives of healthcare as a healthcare provider, that's a personal science. That's a personal healthcare decision. It's not supposed to be a government-centered healthcare system. It's supposed to be a patient-centered healthcare system. So this is the conversation we need to have with America. We need to know that government doesn't know best. It's what America wants. And have that dialogue, but have it in an open discussion. Small bites, common sense application. Listen to the American people. They're going to tell you what the symptoms are. They're going to tell you what's wrong, and they're going to tell you the solutions.
What are one of the small bites that you think is most likely to pass the House as far as immigration is concerned?
Well, I think we got visa reforms, and I think we got a guest worker program that can really work. You know, I think those are golden opportunities. But it also brings in a lot of different other aspects because everything is so interwoven. When you look at when you're coming as an immigrant to become a citizen, there's the application of where does Medicare fit in? Where does Social Security fit in? Where does Medicaid fit in? These are broken programs that we need to address. Putting our putting them in the corner and say they don't exist is not leadership because they are failing, and we need to elect people and hold those elected people accountable.
My thanks to KAWC's Michelle Faust and Karen Zamora for their contributions to Arizona Edition this week. Join us next week for another program devoted to the issues and events impacting our region and our state. Arizona Edition is recorded at the Robert E. Hardy Radio Studio Complex on the campus of Arizona Western College in Yuma, Arizona. Questions or comments about the program are welcome. Send us an email to news@kawc.org or call us at 877-838-5292. To access this program or any other shows you hear on KAWC again, check our website, www.kawc.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition.